Nadir Shah Afshar in modern times, its primary function was to serve as a buffer between the expanding British and Russian global influences in this area, serving in that role primarily at the instigation of the former power. Although the territory of what became known as Afghanistan 175 years ago consisted of legendary centers of metropolitan Persian civilization such as Herat, Bactria, Gandhara, and Sistan, Zabulistan, the arrival and predominance in this region of Saka Scythian hordes beginning 2000 years ago was to have a baleful influence on the area and its historical legacies, an influence which came in useful for malicious imperialist schemes of later times, which we still see in operation today. The occurrence and subversion of an unsuccessful political and social revolution aimed at modernizing Afghanistan in 1978 saw it become the final battleground between Anglo-American and Russian global influences, which saw the latter receive a 20-year setback in the form of the collapse of the USSR in 1991. 10 years later, the Islamic Jihadi policy, which America employed to subvert Afghan Marxism, flew back in the face of its creator, which necessitated an invasion of Afghanistan by NATO in 2001 and its subsequent and ultimately unsuccessful American occupation for two decades thereafter. Pakistan, on the other hand, is an ethnic patchwork separated from the main body of the British Indian Empire when Britain relinquished direct rule in this territory. It is held together and managed solely by its army, for whose existence it serves as a justification. In return, this army exists only so that it can receive rewards from its only employer, its sole employer, the Anglo-Americans, which has used it as a major instrument to serve its Russian interests in this theater in various major geostrategic phases for the past 200 years. However, America was eventually defeated in 2021 in Afghanistan, freeing that country in stealth and terror after failing to rope it in and control its black hole of corruption and anarchic disorder, which had endlessly sucked in trillions of their dollars over the preceding 20 years of their war and presence in that country, but to no avail. In light of this epochal American defeat after its Cold War victory of 1992, 3 months later, Russia moved quickly to consolidate its legitimate defense objectives by arraying its army on the border with the Ukraine, which had become the hotbed of Atlanticist mischief. The move represented a strategic shift in the Atlanticist Russia confrontation paradigm, which had dominated the fate of humanity for the past two centuries, thereby rendering the Central Eurasian Great Game strategy redundant. Pakistan was the linchpin of this strategy, which had already turned sour and unsafe after the incident of 2001. The US and its allies are now faced with the most acutely existential security challenge they have ever faced. In other words, this sudden new situation implied the strategic redundancy of Pakistan, and that strategy is what the entire rise in the ether of this country was about, a country with a nonsensical name, with absolutely no basis in ethnic commonality, created in the name of a religion never seriously regarded, and a country created not for the real for the weal of its citizens, but for the benefit of its Western dependent ruling elites, of which the army is paramount. That is the definition of Pakistan in a nutshell. Pakistan is a country that has long been afflicted with dysfunction in the process of discharging its role as a shameless instrument of imperialist policy, as it was never designed to be a normally functional system. but it needed only a cover for the purposes of outward propriety and legality. After 9/11, its principal imperialist master had realized the hazards involved in dealing with it and had slowly tried to disentangle itself from such liabilities. But the dangerous intricacies of the entanglement were very damning. The only option America could pursue in this regard was to slowly distance itself from its protege. Pakistan's conditions had steadily deteriorated to the point of becoming a regional security threat, primarily with regard to the interests of the rising global powers of Russia and China. With this in mind, both Russia and China had begun to approach Pakistan with support of diplomatic maneuvers and practical programs of goodwill. And in April 2015, China began the implementation of the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, CPEC, which has been referred to earlier in this speech, designed to be a primary component of the One Belt, One Road, OBOR, Eurasian Geostrategic Initiative. This and other minor initiatives had seemingly proceeded without any remarkable let or hindrance till the spring of last year, 2022. Russia's post-US Afghan withdrawal moves in the Ukraine represented the definitive cutoff for the old global order, and everybody involved knew this. Pakistan's elites and its army had all along treated Russian and Chinese offers and advances with lukewarm enthusiasm, regarding them as better than nothing, while naively sticking to the belief that their primary Anglo-American godfathers would never abandon them and their stand with them through thick and thin. Moreover, Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan was unlike any the other traditional elites. He is an unabashed and charismatic sports celebrity, not a traditional Pakistani politician of the Pakistani mold. And his cultural mores are not only sophisticated bourgeois, but elitist English. And like most Pakistanis, and his physical features are also tend towards the European side. And he has none of the Indian inferiority complexes or hang-ups that are common in this society, the Pakistani society. He looks the English in the eye directly and treats them as equals. And that is reciprocal on their part also. And for an average Pakistani, that is the biggest deal to aspire to, you know, to be able to look an Englishman directly in the face and speak to him on English terms is one of the biggest psychological aspirations of any Pakistani. I can tell you that. With such a frame of mind, Imran Khan was hardly aware of, nor did he care for, the considerations which attended the reality of Pakistan, its purposes and existence. He used to make bold statements which were not in accord with the realities of the situation. And on the 24th of February 2022, when Russia began its military operation in the Ukraine, he happened to be the guest of Vladimir Putin in Moscow, and he gave the full support, he gave his full support to the Russian moves. This was too much for the Atlanticist masters of Pakistan, who sent an angry riposte to their protégés in Islamabad, demanding that they rein in Imran Khan. The army panicked, concocting a constitutional crisis, which resulted in the removal of Imran Khan. The army also arbitrarily terminated the participation of Pakistan in CPEC and pulled out of it. However, this was done stealthily and without any formal announcement. They also gave anti-Russian statements regarding the issue of the Ukraine. However, in doing all this, the army succeeded in furthering the undoing of what was an already rotten and controversial structure to begin with. And it precipitated consequences which have no parallel in the short 75-year history of Pakistan as a country. In its actions, the army seems to suffer from the same hopeless illusions as do all Pakistani elites. That is, that it is still needed, and if it somehow pleases its Anglo-American overlords, they will continue to bail out its corrupt and dysfunctional structure and support it. They do not realize that the Atlanticists are in permanent historic decline and on the back foot, and are now acutely preparing to fight for their continued survival. A corrupt drain hole like Pakistan is among the least of their concerns, and previously they cynically tolerated it as it served their geopolitical purposes. But that is no longer the case, not after 2022. To sum up, Imran Khan does not have the character or gravitas to lead a meaningful revolution in Pakistan, and that too in an already defective political structure such as what Pakistan possesses. Likewise, and for the same reason, in my opinion, the Pakistani people lack the capability of bringing about an effective revolution, or even knowing what they need in the way of a revolution. Instead, what Imran Khan may cause is chaos and breakdown, which would be the next best thing for us in the given circumstances. Pakistan is an agent of harm and represents aberrant forces, and in no way can it serve any legitimate Eurasian causes or interests. The Anglo-American imperialists had evidently undertaken a careful observation and study of the characteristics of these low-life peoples who comprise of Pakistan and its society, as well as Afghanistan, finding them to be useful in the propagation of their unsavory objectives. Pakistanis live unrealistically with regard to the country that they take their name from, as they expect to be sustained parasitically by the foreign imperial powers whose interests they have thus far served. I hope I am not repetitive in my reiteration of these facts, but I am simply repeating them so that most foreign observers, they tend to look at these issues with a very simplistic or empirical approach. And I would like to tell them that it's far more involved in this than many people would think. While such notions on the part of Pakistanis may have worked so far, that will no longer be the case. That is, America and the Western powers, the Atlanticists, may have supported Pakistan through thick and thin, you know, all kinds of support they have provided it, so that, because it was serving their interests, it was doing their dirty work in the great game against Russia. But now, because of the situation of the great game, the play of it has changed. It has entered its last phase, its acute phase. Therefore, Pakistan, which was a long-term appendage, a long-term strategy, it is no longer needed in now that the theatre of the war has shifted to Europe, to the Ukrainian scene. The main purpose of the Pakistani artificial state framework, cobbled together by the British and handed over to a Punjabi Indic-dominated servile elite setup, was achieved during the 1980s when it began prosecuting the Pashtun-based Jihad, which acquired an increasingly gangster-like character as it unfolded. By this again, to put it in simple terms, I mean that the control of Pakistan lies with the Punjabi ethnicity, but the main component that it was using in its while serving its Atlanticist masters in the game against Russia was the Pashtun element. That was the material they were making use of. You can say that they were using it as fuel for their bombs. They were using the Pashtuns as the shoulders of the Pashtuns upon which to position their guns while taking aim at Russia. I've explained these things before and I will continue to do so. the jihad of the 1980s was the peak point of